answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Want to know who owns the land around our bases and strategic bases, and getting an understanding of why foreign entities, foreign companies, foreign individuals might be buying up land around those bases. That's something I should be paying attention to on behalf of the American people, on behalf of my department, and on behalf of the president. It's common sense. And so food security, just like energy resilience, just like where we get our water, that's all national security, especially in a contingency. So we would be asleep at the wheel if we were not fully a party to an effort like this to ensure that our nation had the food supply it needs. But specifically, our troops have what they need on our bases so that in those moments, you can rely on us here in the United States to provide that security. So no longer can foreign adversaries assume we're not watching. And we're not paying attention, and we're not doing something about it, because we are.
Yes, we are. But I want to put some caution blocks in front of you. That's Defense Secretary Hegseth. And yes, we need to be concerned about how much land is owned by China and other adversaries. China is not the only foreign entity involved in owning U.S. farmland. The question would be, what's their intent? And in cases where they have tried to buy up land near military bases, we know what their intent is. We have something like 46 million acres of U.S. agricultural land owned by foreigners. Note, I did not say by China. I said by foreigners. I'll break it out for you. That 46 million acres equals less than 4% of all privately held ag land in our nation. Less than 4%. And China is not at the top of the list. You want to guess? It starts with a C. Canada. Canada owns 14 million acres, 32% of that total I gave you. At last report. In fact, rounding out the top five, the Netherlands at 12%, Italy 6%, the United Kingdom 6%, and Germany at 5%. So together, those countries hold 29% of the foreign held acreage. Maybe 29% of all the acreage we're talking about, while China owns less than 1%. 350,000 acres. But that's really not the issue, is it? It's a matter of why do we allow foreigners to come in and buy our U.S. farmland? That should stop. You want to come in and lease the land for something, but you're not going to buy it. You're not going to have an ownership of it. And even then with the lease, we want to make sure that it's ironclad tight to protect our nation and our food supply. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA. We're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. When we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch. Go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, Larry Connors USA Rumble, or Facebook. And everything later will go up as a podcast. When we complete the program, they're posted as a podcast at News Talk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and Larry Connors USA Facebook. And if you watch or listen at a later point, please always push share, send it on to others, get them involved in our conversations. And while we're talking about foreigners in our nation buying up land, we also have to be worried about how many foreigners do we have in our nation that came through the open border during the Biden era. Thank you, Joe Biden. We don't really even know the total number that came through. 12 million, 14, 18 million? we know that many came through absolutely unvetted, unchecked. Even if they later showed up at a entry point, they weren't really checked and verified. And that also includes children that were either brought in by someone who was claiming to be a relative, maybe they were, maybe they weren't, or children just left along the border where our Border Patrol agents had to get them to safety and provide for them and then find somebody to take care of them. And we were not properly vetting where those children went. But the other issue is we know we've got terrorists inside our nation. They had flagged already numerous on no-fly list. The reason they were on the no-fly list, so they could not fly into our nation and carry out an act of terrorism. They didn't need to during the Joe Biden era. They just get to Mexico, they could walk across the border, and they're in our country. But many came across during the dark of night, and they were caught only on ranchers and farmers' livestock cams where they're watching for that in wild game to make sure their livestock is protected. We've seen video of dozens upon dozens of Chinese men, military age, crossing the border. What is their intent? And we know that recently we have found more than 20 Iranians we have identified as terrorists in our nation. You remember who headed up Department of Homeland Security during the Obama years? And they were actually doing the proper job. That was Jay Johnson. And he's admitting now, with the Iranians we've already found in our nation that we know are here, we don't know what else is out there.
The presence in this country of undocumented migrants or Iranian nationals who have links to Hezbollah, IRGC, is, in my judgment, a domestic law enforcement concern of the highest magnitude. Mm-hmm. I hope and expect that the FBI, my old department, DHS, are laser focused on this. On this right now. There have been the 16 arrests in the last couple of days, but that's not necessarily all of them. Mm. My educated speculation is that law enforcement has been tracking these individuals for a while in this country to follow leads, to see who they are in contact with. But I'm glad to see these 16 off the streets.
That was, again, the DHS leader under Obama. Wonder what he thought about what happened on Biden's watch. He's made it clear that we have reason to be concerned. And then aside from terrorism carried out by terrorists themselves, we have our basic crime in the street. But Blue City mayors and governors are not taking action. Vice President Vance.
Look at Governor Pritzker in Illinois, or Governor Newsom in Los Angeles, or Governor Moore in Maryland. They're angrier about the fact that the President of the United States is offering to help them get their crime under control than they are about the fact that murderers are running roughshod over their cities and have been for decades. Why are Democrat governors angrier about federal law enforcement helping clean up their streets than they are about the fact that those streets need to be cleaned up to begin with? It shows a real sickness in the head. And I agree with the President of the United States. I think most Democrats, rank and file, nobody likes crime. Republicans don't like crime. Democrats don't like crime. Independents don't like crime. Why are Democratic governors doing everything in their power to make crime easier to do in their cities? It doesn't make an ounce of sense to me. But, Mr. President, I appreciate you being willing to help. And I hope these governors take you up on the offer, because we should clean up all of America's streets. It's the right of every American to live in safety and comfort in their community.
Yeah, we actually should. We actually should do so. But again, these blue cities, blue mayors and governors of states, they say, we got it all under control. No, you don't. That is exactly why Trump sent troops into D.C. And Muriel Bowser was welcoming them, and then somebody got word to her, and she started denouncing them, and then she saw what was happening on the streets, and she started appraising it again. And she's probably being slapped down in a back room. Shut up. Don't make him look better. Next target could certainly be Chicago. Trump has already indicated that. And immediately the left comes to the front shouting, not here.
I'm going to say, as a black woman, please do not bring yourself or your military to Chicago. We do not need you. We keep us safe.
A group of leaders and community organizations rallied against President Donald Trump's threats to send federal troops and agents here.
I believe that we will win.
I believe that we will win.
Hours after the city first discussed the plan to respond to federal forces, should they be sent.
We do not assist. But at the same time, I want to be clear, we also do not engage in a way where we're obstructing federal agents. We do not interfere with the work that they're doing.
CPD Superintendent Larry Snelling emphasized several times that members of the National Guard do not have arresting authority or policing powers here. Immigration enforcement preparations are already underway, including sending armored vehicles to Chicago in the coming days. While protests are expected, they're asking that residents do not obstruct federal agents or the National Guard while exercising their rights. He said any communication between CPD and the National Guard would be helpful.
We keep ourselves safe. We keep ourselves safe. That's a lie, and you know it. And you should be ashamed of those of you who gathered in making that statement, knowing that your own communities, especially minority communities, suffer the worst. If police are on the street, they're primarily going to be in the richer areas. And if police are on the street in your neighborhood, it's after there's already been a murder or violent crime. And we've got this issue that some are already playing the race card. They're out there claiming that Trump is actually using the National Guard to round up black people and put them in detention camps. Now, that would sound so ridiculous, that would be funny, except there are people out there that believe it, and they spread the word. And I guess they think there are other black people that are just being stupid and they'll follow along. We've seen lately by the elections and everything else, many blacks will think for themselves. They don't need to be told. They'll make their own decisions. Now, if they choose to decide on their own, yeah, they're going to come round me up, put me in a detention camp. That's on them. There's no proof of it. There are just rumors and gossiping going around. You know, the whole idea is to grab all the black people. You really have to look past the black National Guard's members to come to that conclusion, don't you? Former governor of Illinois, who obviously went out on a bad note, spent time in prison on bribery charges, but has served his time, paid his dues. Former Governor Rod Blagojevich says to Trump, I do hope you come in.
I hope President Trump comes to Chicago and can do in Chicago what he's done in Washington. No murders in Washington in 12 days. In Chicago, 254 people have been murdered in 233 days. You can honestly wake up in the morning and say, somebody's going to get murdered today. And you can also say 80% of that, the people murdered will be black, because 80% of the murder victims in Chicago are black. And if this was happening in the neighborhood Pritzker and these white limousine rich liberals live in, he would not only beg Trump to bring the National Guard, he'd scream and shout for the Army, the Navy, the Marines, and the Air Force. This is hypocrisy with a touch of racism. And it proves that the Democratic Party today, black lives matter only for their votes.
And you know what? No one gets near Governor Pritzker unless his security detail allows you to get near him. And on one hand, that's the way it should be. I don't want any governor or mayor or elected leader subject to threats of crime. But while they want you to believe that everything is good here, it's good in their little bubble. Same thing with Governor Newsom in California. He's saying, you know what, if you're thinking about sending your troops here, we don't need them. You need to send them to Louisiana and Mississippi. Your GOP-led states are more dangerous than we are here. He said, look at the murder rate in Louisiana, nearly four times higher than California. I haven't looked at the facts. Do you accept on his word? So be it. I could care less. The bottom line is, in Louisiana, they are carrying out policing activities in the areas where they have authority to do so. But Newsom is so afraid that Trump will, in fact, try to bring or send in National Guard troops into one of his cities. He's taking the Trump playbook, and he's activating his own people and getting more of his own forces lined up. Governor Newsom is going to try to stop Trump from coming in because we've got it underhand.
California Governor Gavin Newsom was pressed on whether his most recent efforts to fight crime contradict his criticism of President Trump's troop deployments. Newsom pushed back, saying California is working with local law police to bring crime down. He's deploying what he calls crime suppression teams from California Highway Patrol in areas where high crime is an issue, like San Diego, L.A., and the San Francisco Bay Area. Newsom says they're building on an effort that actually began last year in Bakersfield, San Bernardino, and Oakland. Newsom adding, while the Trump administration undermines cities, California is partnering with them and delivering real results. With these new deployments, we're doubling down on these partnerships to build on progress and keep driving crime down. Democratic governors have a new statement regarding the president's suggestion that he might deploy the National Guard in other cities, saying in part, doing so without the request and consent of that state's governor is an alarming abuse of power, ineffective, and undermines the mission of our service members. This chaotic federal interference in our state's National Guard must come to an end.
Yeah, suddenly he's concerned about law enforcement. You know, we tell you with Larry Connors, USA, you get news, analysis, opinion, and education. I think you've learned a lot already in this first part of this hour. But we're not done, class. There's more to come. Question, greenhouse gas emissions, are they really a threat to you and our environment, or is that a scam? You're already forming your opinions, aren't you? I've got an expert coming up. You'll want to hear his view. You don't want to go anywhere. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA. You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it, and we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I've got a great evening planned for you. We start with dining at the Oak Street Inn Lounge in Connellville. We enjoy sunset on the rooftop, then down to the speakeasy. Just one visit, you're going to see why I'm always talking about the Oak Street Inn and Lounge. Plus, you might want to plan a staycation, a romantic getaway. Check out OakStreetInnAndLounge.com for various events this summer. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville.
This is News Talk STL.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime will help.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is the author of a book, A Very Convenient Warming, How Modern Warming, or Modest Warming.
Modest.
Modest. There you go. Thank you. I misread it, Gregory. Thank you. How Modest Warming and More CO2 are Benefiting Humanity. Is that right? Gregory.
That's what I'm here. I'm here to help.
I appreciate it. Gregory Wrightstraw, welcome aboard. Glad to have you again. I didn't have my glasses with me, and it got a little fine print there. I'm glad to have you on board because there's word of a new study that's going to be determining if greenhouse gas emissions are harmful to the public or if it's all a scam. Give me the background on that.
Yeah, this is from the National Academies of Sciences. And there's what they've done is announce a fast track report that was going to evaluate whether the CO2 endangerment finding should be supported or should it be repealed. But they've stacked the deck completely with climate alarmist scientists. Some of these aren't even scientists. We've got about one person looks like have. There's a climate change expertise. So they've settled. It's a predetermined outcome.
So you could write the report now and know what it's going to say.
Well, it's the committee members. There are 15 of them, and they're provisional committee members. And I took a look here at the CO2 Coalition, evaluated them, and 13 of the 15 were just wildly climate alarmists. It's a scientific review.
Well, this National Academy is a congressionally chartered organization, but not free to do the right thing, just do what you're told.
Yeah, normally this is highly unusual. The government goes to the NAS and requests for them to do a project. And now they've just volunteered to do this on their own. And it's a highly political organism. It used to be a very well respected organization. It should be, but they've just been corrupted by the climate change intelligentsia.
This is another example of where we have lost trust in institutions. We need. How are you going to get that trust back?
Fire them all.
I like it. Go ahead.
Yeah, start over. The president of the National Academy of Sciences is Marcia McNutt. Now, bear in mind,
you're not making that up, are you?
No. Okay. And now, bear in mind, some people have a last name that's very well suited. Like, I'm a geologist, and my last name is Wrightstone.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Our realtor, when we sold our home in Pittsburgh, her last name was Newhouse. And the president of the NAS is last name of McNutt.
Yeah, and you know, aside from picking on her name, What are her credentials, and what is she really going to do that would add to this for validity?
Well, there's not much that she's led has been very valid. In 2012, she was the editor of Science Magazine. Again, what used to be a very good scientific paper, but she announced in 2012 that she would no longer allow any scientific papers that countered this consensus opinion of man-made driven climate crisis.
Now, what do they mm-hmm. consider greenhouse gases overall? What's their definition?
Well, they conveniently overlook the biggest greenhouse gas, which is water, in both the form of water vapor and clouds. About 90% of the greenhouse warming is from water. The next, we've got CO2, methane. There are a few others, but all of these are just, they're pikers compared to water.
And how vital is CO2 to our survival?
We could not survive without it.
Oh, that bad.
It's greening the planet.
Yes.
I mean, plants love it. Did you know that half of all of our CO2 emissions aren't showing up in the atmosphere? So we're emitting huge amounts of CO2, but only 50% shows up in the atmosphere. Where's the rest of it go? Photosynthesis.
Mm-hmm.
You learned about it in middle school.
Yep.
And man, it's turbocharging plant growth.
And I know that they had a UN council meeting down in Brazil last year, and they were clearing out thousands of acres of forest to make room for high-speed cars to get the delegates from one location to another. They didn't really seem to give a damn then about destroying the forest and greenhouse effect.
No, they don't. No, they don't. And they don't know now. And actually, that Brazil conference will be coming up in about a month and a half.
Yeah.
And so what they've also done, let's look at the UN reports that extinction and endangered species, what threatens them the most? Loss of habitat. What's their solution to solve a non-existent problem? Pave over thousands of acres of grasslands,
right.
Farmland for solar industrial facility. Cut down mature forests and ruin the habitat by putting up thousands and thousands of wind turbines. No, thank you. No, I don't want that.
But they tell us if we would quit eating so much beef, we won't need cattle who burp and throw methane gas out by flatulence. And if we will quit eating beef, we won't need all that. As a matter of fact, we have too many people in the world anyway. So if we drop some of them off the face of the earth, that would help.
Well, a couple things. Let me just jump in. A couple things you've teed up. You threw me a softball.
I did.
Number one, there were about the same number of bison and buffalo in North America as we have cattle. Buffalo are also ruminants that burp up methane.
Mm-hmm.
So even before we arrived, we were emitting about the same amount of methane. and it's just crazy.
But how does this pseudoscience continue to even exist? I mean, it's been debunked so many different ways. There's a big money to be made if you can get a piece of it. But beyond that...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the big thing right now is this carbon capture scam.
Right.
And unfortunately, Trump just let the subsidy go. He left to keep going. We were hoping and thought he would kill it. And they need the subsidies to make this stuff work.
And why do you think he's not then going to go ahead and take that action on it?
Well, some in his cabinet, particularly Doug Burgum at Interior, he was a big, big, big carbon cap. So was Kristi Noem. And the president the governor of Wyoming is also big on carbon capture. But you know, what they're proposing is to put these carbon capture on these coal-fired plants. It costs almost $1 billion to retrofit them. And it uses 24% of the electricity that's generated to suck this out. So it's uneconomic, environmentally harmful, and it sucks up a huge amount of electricity.
And I saw a report that China continues to produce more coal-fired plants and create more emissions there. So whatever we do here, how's it affect everything around the world?
Well, it's going to very, very small effect. But to China's credit, at the risk of complimenting them, they're building these new ultra-critical coal powers. And what that does is they puts out that's real clean coal technology. We only have one of them here in the United States. That's Turk plant in Alabama.
Well, the other thing in our last minute here, when we have done everything here, if we shifted all to electric cars and everything else, we stopped all the coal fire, you get one major fire out of Canada and the wind blowing the smoke toward the U.S., and there goes the air quality and everything else for our nation, and we did everything right, supposedly.
Yeah, that's a long-term issue. This isn't anything modern that came up. Actually, fires in both Canada and the United States are significantly reduced from what they were 80 or 90 years. We probably have 20 or 25% the number of fires and acreage burned.
Well, I'm looking again at, as they are starting this survey, a study. They want to call it a study to find out if this is harmful to the public. The answer will be?
Heck no. The Earth, by almost every metric you look at, is thriving and prospering, and humanity is benefiting from modest warming and more CO2.
You know what? I think I will sleep better tonight because of those words. Thank you.
Sleep well. There is no climate crisis.
Gregory Wrightstone, author of A Very Convenient Warming. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you.
You bet. We'll do it again. Always a blast talking to Gregory. He likes to have a little fun at the same time. And, of course, we also have the DOE issue, the basic DEI, DOE, whatever you want to call it, and by this case, a Colorado school district going after Title IX by replacing a girl's restroom. That's one of the things we're going to cover. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I've got a phone number for you and a website where you can take a free, quick survey to learn how to use artificial intelligence, AI, to put your company on a fast track to the future. Here's the number. It's a 636 area code, 636-689-0545, 689-0545. This is PRI Global. And recently, the St. Louis Business Journal named PRI Global as a leading IT consulting company. 25 years working with hundreds of companies, several Fortune 500, locally and around the world. PRI Global has its own AI lab to develop what's best for your company. Take the free survey and be on your way to the future. 636-689-0545, 689-0545, or go direct. PRIGlobal.ai, PRIGlobal.ai. Hey, looking for windows that solve your problems and actually add value to your home? Renewal by Anderson. Anderson products increase your home value by at least 15%. Right now, get $329 off every window, $729 off every patio or entry door, and ask about our zero interest plan for 3 years. Renewal by Anderson, the full service replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted for more than 122 years. Renewal by Anderson has FiberX frames, 20% stronger than vinyl, built to last. It's why we have more 5-star reviews than anyone in St. Louis. And only Renewal by Anderson backs it up with the nation's best warranty. Schedule your complimentary consultation, rbastl.com, or call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson, superior products, exceptional service.
Yeah. You've worked hard for your money, so protect it. Meet my friend Bob Leslie and ask about the Gain and Retain Plan. Leslie Consulting, 40 years in the St. Louis area as a leader in brokerage and risk management. Call 314-721-0066, 721-0066. Oh, and ask Bob how he was the L.A. Dodger number one pick. LeslieConsulting.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Launching studies on the potential contribution of some of the SSRI drugs and some of the other psychiatric drugs that might be contributing to violence. You know, many of them on there have black box warnings that warn of suicidal ideation and homicidal ideation. So we can't exclude those as a culprit.
These statements you heard from RFK Jr., our Health and Human Services Director, reference the shooting that took place in Minneapolis the other day. Depending on which news source you've been getting your news from, you might not know a transgender was involved in the shooting. And in the manifesto, born a boy, now a girl, had to go in through puberty blockers and who knows what else, admitting that I wish I had not brainwashed myself to change my body makeup. That brainwashing taking place around age 17 or leading up to it was not just this person's decision. There were those around him urging him, pushing him, pulling him, and saying, if you're a girl, you're going to feel better. Things will be better. But in his manifesto, before he went in on that killing spree, killing students in a Catholic church at their mass, he said, I wish I'd not been brainwashed or I'd not brainwashed myself. He didn't really do it himself. He got fed enough information that got whacked up in his brain. And that's what RFK Jr. is talking about. We need to start taking a closer look at these drugs that are being used to transform perfectly normal children into something they're not. And they might well become a monster. They might become suicidal. They might become homicidal. Now, the general push for those who want to endorse the transgender ideology, telling parents that if you don't allow your child to transfer from one gender to another, they might get suicidal. What they don't say is they might get suicidal anyway. But the fact that the RFK statements that we need to take a closer look at this, you know what the response is from Senator Peter Welch, Democrat of Vermont? He says Kennedy is a lunatic and should be fired. They were talking about him being fired, and our NBC, or rather MSNBC host Chris Hayes, who thinks he is so special, was asking Senator Welch, what's your reaction to what's happening at CDC right now? And this has to do not just with evaluating some drugs, but firing some of the people that have been in the way there. Senator Walt said, well, it's horrifying. There are two things, one very inspiring, the other very alarming. The inspiring part is these folks who resigned in solidarity with their director, standing up for science, for public health. There they go again, pointing out science and public health, when they ignore the most basic piece of science. There are only two genders. And Senator goes on to say the depressing part is that RFK is a lunatic I mean, he's setting us back a century on public health. So Hayes asked a due diligence question. Do you believe he should be fired or resign? Senator Welch said he should be fired. He should resign. He never should have been appointed. Blah, blah, and goes on and on. I don't always agree with everything RFK Jr. has said in the past. But the fact that he's saying these drugs being given these kids, we need to take a closer look at them. I think that's a great idea. We should. I want to share with you, as it appears, and consider the source, Google AI Overview. They talk about gender-affirming hormone therapy, GAT, G-A-T, G-A-H-T, using medication to help transgenders develop physical characteristics that align with their gender identity. If I'm a male, but I want to identify as a female, then they want me to put that on there so they know which drugs to use. And they go through all the different effects, and it could develop facial and body hair, deepen the voice. Well, if you're a female wanting to go male, then that's what you want. And they talk about how often these things are given and what's given and not given. And I dig deep, deep, deep down into this article. Risk. Risk. Well, as with any medical treatment, they write, hormone therapy carries potential risk and benefits. And medical supervision is essential to manage these factors. Benefits. Benefits, here it is. Improved mental health. Studies show that these drugs are associated with reduced anxiety, depression, and risk of suicide. So what happened in Minnesota the other day was a one-off, maybe. And they also say the benefits increase quality of life, can improve social well-being, body image, overall satisfaction for those with gender dysphoria. Risk, blood clots, cardiovascular issues, acne, weight gain. Almost as if that's nothing. Look at the benefits I just laid out for you. There's a whistleblower that's come forward, and she was working with a gender transition group. She got involved because she, according to her, had a true concern for the kids that are caught in this debate. Am I male or female? Should I do this or do that? And all this stuff is being pounded on me. What should I do? Where should I go? And she said, I thought if I could get in there with them, I could help them through this process. Not trying to push them one way or the other, but just if that's what they're going to do, help them through it. But then she realized this is not only a hoax and a scam, but dangerous.
Yeah, so I actually participated in medicalizing young people for almost 5 years. And what I saw was that we were harming these kids. They were not getting better. Often their mental health was getting worse. We were tearing apart families. And we also have to recognize that gender ideology tears apart other facets of our social, of our society. It tears at sports and families and safety for women and safety for families and kids. And so the ideology as a whole, to me, just became something that I felt like I was participating in harming the exact same patients that my job was supposed to be to protect, to make them better.
Yeah. She realized I'm not doing what I thought I was doing. We need some abortion doctors to wake up to that same kind of thought, thinking, I'm not really helping. And in fact, I'm violating my basic code. First, do no harm. And there have been some doctors walk away from abortions. And there have been some that were involved in transgender surgery that they also decided this is not right. But at what point did that happen? How far along did they go and treat, mutilate, and kill before they decided this isn't the right thing? It should be a common sense decision. But we have so many on the left that they're going to continue, despite the fact that they're not showing any support among getting enough votes. They're going to continue to push this in your face. Perfect example here. The Department of Education announcing yesterday that a Colorado school district had violated Title IX by converting a high school girl's restroom into an all-gender restroom and allowing students to access facilities that match their gender identity. Well, we're not trying to keep them from going into a female stall or if they're a male. It's an all-gender, all-inclusive. There are a lot of restaurants and businesses that have gone that direction. But doing it in a high school, they were basically converting a sex-segregated restroom designed for girls to an all-gender facility and then allowing the students to make up their own mind. Do you want to go to your gender facility or the all-gender facility? The Trump administration quickly dropping the hammer. Denver is free to endorse a self-defeating gender ideology, but it is not free to accept federal taxpayer dollars and harm students in violation of Title IX. The all-gender facility is wrong. Good. But I'm going to ask you a question. Please don't shout at me the answer. If Trump were not in office, if Biden were, or Harris, or one of the other lackeys, do you think this kind of action would have been taken to shut off, threaten to shut off federal dollars by this kind of nonsense in one Colorado high school? Now, I know, and I hear you. I hear you yelling. You're right. They will go as far as they can. Same thing when it comes to looking at what happened the other day in Minneapolis. One of the first fallbacks was immediately fall back and start shouting, "Get rid of all guns."
Like, you have to be honest and say what will actually work, which is what nobody wants to hear, which is that there are just simply way too many firearms and they're way too accessible. And even if
they're too powerful,
even handguns too. Again, that's why in Australia, it doesn't matter if it's not politically acceptable to say it. I'm not here as a politician or anyone who works in politics. I'm a journalist. Whether or not you like it, the only thing that really works, if you really wanted to bring down gun violence, was to do what Australia did and to do what many other countries in Europe do. I realize I will get so much hate mail over this. People will tell me that I'm a communist and all of these other things, and I'm so terrible, which also only reinforces the point, as I will definitely get, you know, some sort of like
blowback,
not just blowback, but like threatening blowback, which is to say, like, these people, like, who are supposed to be so law abiding are so quick to tell me that, like, you know, I ought to die or whatever else it is.
Yeah, there will be some that will do that. I will not do that. I will say that you're wrong. And the reason our Second Amendment exists is for us to have the right to bear arms. And if I had been a parent at that school, of course, they probably have signs up, no guns allowed. They like to post gun-free zones. Do you know what that does for someone looking for a chance to cause chaos, mass murder? You put up a sign like that, gun-free, they're thinking, well, I'll be the only one in here with a gun because I'm going to break that law, and I'm going to break the law, thou shalt not murder. and more communities and cities are thinking we should put that up. I point to a Texas school district, one of many I can think of right off the top of my head. This one's outside Dallas. And they put up on posters outside and around their school, we do have armed personnel on staff. In other words, you come in here thinking you're going to find a soft target, you might get a soft hollow point in your head. If we don't make it clear that we're willing to protect our children, then what are we going to do? They are our greatest legacy. Don't bend to the will of the left that says, well, guns should not be in the hands of anyone. There are some people that should not have one. There are others that need them. And there are those who would save lives by using guns. So, class, what did you learn this hour? You know more than what you did when we began, right? I always promise you that. We have an extended recess because of Labor Day weekend. But we will be back, as always, for you. Larry Connors, USA. News, analysis, opinion, and education. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.